take great pains to make us forget that he was God while we were with him. He wanted natural. And when we were really beginning to forget, he would say, don't forget, I'm God. And his person was precious and obedience was there. And we knew he was master all the time. But on the other hand, his humanness, like he would make a face at a particular dish, which fruit or vegetable he didn't like, or a recent apple was good for him, Babel saying, you know, he's like that.
Yeah.
And he would allow himself sometimes to lose a game, although he was perfect at all games. He would cheat, but on the understanding that we knew he was cheating and that we could catch him out if we could, which we never could, you know.
He snored when
and
he slept.
When there was
he passed wind. Yeah.
And he gave, it was always giving us an opportunity to serve. If he wasn't well, there were more opportunities for us to look after him, to serve him. Not that he always listened what we would say that he should do or should eat or should have. No, not that. But these were little opportunities. Like that time when Baba one day was sitting on his chair, tired and not so well, and looking so frail. And so naturally when he said, now I have to go over to the women's side, lunch, I'm hungry. And he was getting up, so once what happened was, I'm giving just one instance so you can have an idea. Eric and Francis both quickly went to help him get up from the chair. There's an opportunity to do that for him. And while he did that, and they held his hand, all ready to pull him up, he just gave a slight jerk. And they both almost fell over him, trying to avoid falling over him. Francis looked so, you know, stunned. He said, oh, Baba, you're strong. I said, good for you.
Baba, one time when he wasn't well in 68, he was lying on the bed and he said, take my hand. So I took his hand very gently and one almost crushed my hand. Yeah, he was so weak and helpless on the bed.
And sometimes, even humanly, Baba would, you know, feel heavy. For instance, when he was not well, and they would help him to turn over. Eric can tell you about that. He was, you know, it was all one could do to heal him. The very next day, you could just touch him and Baba would go over. And once Baba explained, and also when they were lifting the lift chair, Baba sitting in the lift chair, and they would, the men would carry four sides, four of them, and the others walking along with them. And they could barely just manage to lift him. And sometimes he would be so light, and they would be walking along, and then suddenly the weight.
That is a common experience.
Yes.
All of a sudden there would be weight.
They weren't careful. And Baba explained that it was the weight of his work. The weight of all. And it depended on it. In this, similarly, sometimes Baba looked, I don't mean if you measured him, but to your remembrance, your vision, your feeling, so big. Yeah, you remember Baba's big walking, taking a walk here. And at other times he would look so small, so fine.
But this experience was not just my imagination or anything, but it was even Francis who remarked. All of a sudden, and it was also a physical experience for those who witnessed us. While lifting him, we would have a jerk. All of a sudden, we'd be bent down, you see. As if additional weight has been put on that. So like that. Yeah.
I have a song to sing.
Hmm?
I have two songs to sing.
Two songs?
Two songs.
He has two songs.
Good. We'll have a nice session of songs.
Can you hear?
And now you are in a mood to sing?
Yeah.
I started singing the song.
Okay.
Pink was his favorite, and sky blue. Yeah.
But that was, those quotes Baba wore really mm-hmm.
For Darshan time. But his plain
I
white.
I remember him so well in gray or in white. Sometimes gray at the edges, but you know, it was his favorite. Patch and merit and over. And then
comes to mind now, but then it was...
You know why he would wear pink? You want to know the real personal side?
Yeah.
How he would tease us and all that? He says, you know, this pink color is great help to me. Because now I'm far advanced in age. All that glow is not there. So this pink, you see, reflects, you see, and makes me look more radiant. That's how, that's his personal touch. See how he would be with us.
But sometimes he would take great pains to say things like that, to put us off the real thing that he was. I've often seen that. He would take great pains to anything to appear so natural that we would just see that side of it. And in the meantime, what he was really doing was with the left hand, what sleight of hand which we couldn't see, what he was really doing, he wouldn't always reveal. And about a hug and everything.
One day it so happened, you know. He would be most natural when he is scantily clothed, you see. Just like a sadhara picture. Where is that picture? Yeah, it's like that. Just plain sadhara there. Yeah. And sometimes it... And
off,
yeah.
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 And then put it out, sometimes it was torn. He
would like to wear the ones that were worn frequently, not new clothes. Not starched or anything. The soft ones, yes. But even in the softness, there must be that frequently used qualities. What do you call that? It's not that you costly clothes or anything else. Not that, but that soft due to constant wear. That softness he wanted. You see, you have a soft cap, but he wouldn't want to use that. He would wear the cap that has been usually worn by him. You've gotten soft through wearing, constant association. Same thing with shoes and same thing with his coat. Even if it is torn, you see, and they would just pester him to change it with great difficulty. Sometimes they would put it by.
No, the end
we have to patch it. Patch it and then put it by later on because you'd continue to use it.
It's so soft. But this is soft for the glasses you would have to when it's not really too much. And then when it was really used more and more, he wanted the same.
You know that British coat, the little coat that the case in the museum? That father wore and wore, we patched. He used to call it his post office. He used to have pocket to read his own mail, didn't have a grip to it.
Yeah.
He had pockets full like this mail and little bits of paper and things.
Bob used to read his newspaper in the beginning. The newspapers would be read by him. He would sit on a bed, you see, and hold on them like that. Yeah. Especially with his mail also, he would read like that. He wouldn't sit at a table and do all that, on bed. And about that story, when that money, that incident, he would be scantily clothed, you see, informal with us. Nothing special. In summer, there would be nothing. Just a small half panty. And you'd be seated there in the Manji Hall, mind you. And at a place like Guru Prasad Palace and all that. Just summertime, people would be coming and going and all. Everybody seated there informally. Nothing. When he is giving darshan, the special gathering, then he would put on this sadhara there in summer. And very thin pink coat or something like that. Or blue or white, plain white, pearl white. As they gave, he didn't care for anything of that sort. Now, one day he was seated like that, just on his shorts there. And we were having a chat, and good humor that was there, sometimes serious talk, sometimes any talk. I don't remember the talk that day. But somebody, some stranger was announced that he had come to see Baba to pay his respects to him. It was unusual for him. He says, get me a garland immediately. No, Sadharani Pariya, get me a garland. What had happened was that at that time, you see, whenever Baba was in his great humor, great mood, or whatever it was, he would turn real like this. Have you seen the morning glories, you see, of the sun rising or the sunset, the sky, you know, that pink, you know. The glow that is there, that would come on over this whole place, you see, this whole. Actually, it would glow. It means the colors change there. Yeah, it would be like the horizon, you know. So he was there seated like that. All of a sudden he was announced. So he says, stop him there, get me a garland immediately. So then somebody rushed inside, knocked the door and got some ordinary plain garland. We couldn't get a flower garland, no fresh flower garland was there. We never called for garlands or anything for Baba like that. Only the meeting time people would bring, so that would... With us, we never brought any garlands for him. We were ourselves garlands round his neck, you see. So he says, get some garlands. So Mehra and these people, women, used to keep those, some very beautiful garlands presented to Baba of silk, flowers or some sort of things, or what do you call those, tinsels or something like that. Somebody sent immediately there, and he immediately himself wore it and sat there. He says, now call him. He said, and then he smiled and all that. He accepted him there and all that. After 5-10 minutes, he was told to go back. He was happy. That person was happy and he went back. And then he says, with great bliss, he says, take it away from me. So, naturally, we who were seated there were wondering as to, it was very unusual for Baba. He wouldn't like that burden of garlands or anything of the sort. Why did he call and himself wore it? So he tells, he gives us this explanation. He says, well, I had to do it to ward off his impression, his evil eye on my radiance. That's, yeah. Whatever it be.
But it's really... maybe Baba didn't want to reveal himself so much.
Yes, so much.
So he was distracted by the child and that Baba's glory. At that moment, that man would have received so much and Baba was not ready to give
it. It was a sort of a veil. So that to avoid that, you see.
Smoke screen,
yeah. So such were the personal touches he would give us. Then another personal touch, as I told you, that they would all be playing cards. Are you inciting her for all these things? No. I asked her that. These people had already pestered her so many times, you see. So what happened is that he would be playing cards with so many people. And lot of noise would be created. And I had to keep watch outside so that strangers may not find unusual noise there. People around him would become very boisterous. They'd shout and clamor at the top of the house. Oh, you cheat! And all sorts of words would be playing.
So many. Sometimes each one would have just two cards. What kind of a game you play?
So then I would keep watch outside, you see, and report to Baba. Baba is becoming too boisterous. People on the roadside are standing and trying to find out what's happening inside. So then Baba says, calm down. Even then, of course, again after 5 minutes, there will be another car. All of a sudden, I would announce that a car has come, Baba, for somebody, some family to see you. So then Baba would immediately tell the others around him, put your cards there, under your face. And then all would be seated, you see, as if nothing had happened. Quiet. Yeah. All quiet and all very respectable like this. So these are the little hints that are now very useful to us.
You said you had a whole deck of cards there.
So, no, what I say is that there are people who are asking us whether Baba encouraged us to have discipline or to use our discretion or something like that. So yes, he did. These are the guidelines, see, that he has left behind. But we have to use our discretion. We have to. He asks us to be most natural, we have to be most natural. So, will it be very natural for us to be boisterous when a stranger enters? Is it natural? No. So, the most natural thing is to keep quiet in presence of Baba. So, such discretion, little hints, he has left behind us so that we follow and we profit by it now. Had he not done this, had he not been human to us, we wouldn't have known anything. We would have just carried on saying that Baba wants us to be natural. So we would have just sat there, you see, and let out a wind also. And if a stranger passes, it would be very natural. But that's not what he wanted us to do. He wanted us to be natural in its most natural sense. Not an unnatural way. You see?
But you see that... alertness.
You follow?
The human mm-hmm. side is as we see it. We're only reporting as we see. But at the same time, we realize that Baba, through that, was doing something else also. But he would not, he would take great pains to make it seem human, to make it seem so natural. For instance, suddenly Baba would like one vegetable, okra. He would like okra and he would want it every day. And we would think, ah, Baba suddenly developed a taste so much for okra that he wants it every day. But he was very particular, it had to be every day. If they couldn't get it in the bazaar, if we were in Pune, then Erich's family, or wherever we were here, then the Naga family would go seek high and low just to get okra, because Baba must have okra. Every day, it would again and again. And then, after a certain period, Baba would stop. He wouldn't touch okra. Then another vegetable would be included. Now, when we look back, we realize that he also did work with, just like he did with the animals. Animals were such a prominent part in life with Baba during his God-man advent. So these vegetables come to be nice. Anything eaten by him, catched by him, consumed by him, this was always for all these things, not just for where he is visible and where and the things, the instruments that he uses, but at all levels.
So Baba must have been working on number one or in Hollywood when he wanted spinach every day.
Yes,
but she yeah. had to prepare the spinach. Who did? You are. And every day she had to be down in the bakery where the kitchen was, in this house in Hollywood. We'd all be up there, and she'd be crying. Mama's upstairs, everybody's upstairs, and Mama's washing the spinach, and washing. Spinach is very sandy. Mm. It has to be washed so and so because one day I was down in the kitchen, I was washing the spinach. And the door opened and God came in and embraced it. Oh, like that. To think that Bob would actually come down his kitchen and embrace her.
Can you recall anything of that last visit between Upasani Maharaj and Baba?
I wasn't there. All that has been recalled is printed there. You know? I wasn't there personally myself. I was at Mehrabad at the time, so he had kept me with the masks. Of course, Adi would know.
Okay,
no, but even Adi was not there.
Padri
would know. Because Adi was not present at that time. Yeah. So, Padri would know. Padri had gone. Do one thing. Savak Kotwal is coming now. You know Kotwal family?
Yes, I met him in Bombay. He came to visit Peggy.
He was there. He was there.
Okay.
So he is coming, but you are leaving when?
The 8th.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He's coming on the 1st for 5 days' stay. So you ask him, he was there.
To Mehrabad.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. He and his family coming.
Yes.
Shirin, Nadi, Mary, Janice, members of family, all of them. Yes. I'm very happy with y'all. What else? About his personal side. There are many things about his life. What did he do?
What did
he
do?
What did he do with
him? Well, it's like somebody wrote me a postcard. That's 40 years. Somebody wrote me a postcard, an Indian family, a child. How are you? Please write and reply. Tell me the story of your life. Postcard.
It's like Erich was telling Lola to be my case. Eric was telling about when he got
smoked. Ah, that.
Things like that.
Tell that again.
Oh, that's his friend.
When
Yes, yeah, Bengula, Bengula. Oh, that's a wonderful story.
Well, then what he would do is he'll call, sometimes he'll say, come here and kiss me. So we would have to go there and kiss. He says, this is the way you kiss. Yeah, he'd just do like that, kiss me here. All of a sudden he'd say that. So we'd just tenderly kiss him. So is that the way you kiss? See that? That's how you do that.
Especially when you would sit there. I mean, we didn't just go whenever you come, like, into the right path. Yeah, as I said, you were free, but no liberty. You were always master, you were always. But still, at the same time, you see, the natural dimension. Sometimes when you were not in memory, you were angry with them.
Yeah.
And then Baba said, come over and embrace me.
I am sure and definite that never was there a day we slept when there was any strife, because Baba was the one who always brought about a solution or an end to any strife, for a day. Never it went on for 24 hours. Never slept over it.
You mean you might carry something all day, but by the end of the day,
All scores just cancelled. Never in our life, mind you. Never in our life. Even not with anybody, let alone him, but with anybody, if his attention is drawn, he would be the one to just wipe the whole thing out for the night. Nobody slept with a heavy heart.
And because of that, now we're so used.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tell him about that.
No, we were very hard. We were feeling very noble. So why bother about how we were feeling? But what happened was in Bangalore.
Record this is very interesting.
I'm getting it.
We were supposed to go stay in Bangalore in that place. And all the furniture, everything had been brought down, and we were there for good. And Baba suddenly decided now we go back to Mirabel. Everything was packed and ready to go. Well, we were going to be several cars plus the bus, and everybody was very crowded, especially the bus. So Kitty and I decided it would be very noble. And so when all the gathered before Baba and the plans were being made about the trip, Kitty and I spoke up and said that we would go on the train. Going on the train, said Baba. Well, yes, we thought that everybody would be less crowded if we go on the train. Oh, so you want to go on the train? No, it's not that we want to go. We just thought that, you know, so this went on during the whole time that we were in the group. And then Baba dismissed us off. And later on, he called Kitty and me to his room. And we went through that whole session again. And each time we protested to Baba, we were just sort of, you know, feeling that we were doing something for everybody, because we just, it wasn't that we wanted to go on the train. This went on for at least 2 or 3 days. And in the end, Baba broke us down. We were answered with tears. We said, yes, Baba, of course. Oh, and yes, one thing Baba said, oh, you'd rather go on the train than go on the bus.
And be with me. That's important.
No, Baba, of course we want to be with you, but we just felt, you know, I mean, this time we've just made room for everybody after all. Two people makes quite a difference. So you want to go on the train, you want to be with me. And that was the theme song of the whole situation. And every time Baba, after he dismissed all of us, he'd go to his room. Again, he called Kitty and me. And again, we went through this. And Kitty and I were still sticking to our guns. Baba dismisses like that, you see. Disgusted at us. And we felt so righteous that we just kept right on insisting on it. Those things went on for about 2 or 3 days. In the end, I mean, Baba just broke us down. We were in tears. Yes, Baba. Of course we want to be with you, of course we don't want to go on the train.
But you say now you go on the train.
No,
he didn't. I would have expected him to.
I wouldn't have put him back.
So we have to think of, that's what Baba would want. Baba, even if Baba says, do something which we would feel is not so nice, being with others, you still, that's what Baba wanted, to be with Baba, to be sensitive to Baba's pleasure, to be sensitive to being with him, doing for him, not so much for each other. Our link had to be very strong with Baba.
We found at that time, we were, you know,
yes, so
trying to be helpful to
help others.
What did we improve on?
But if Baba said somebody should do such a thing, and you thought, oh, Pooja, how could she do that? Let me go and help her. That wasn't right. That wasn't right. We learned.
He would point out, want to take their side, want to take his side, eh? You don't want to take my side. He'd point out to us that. Amongst the mandali also, he wouldn't want us to be against one another. He would like all to be one, but none should take anybody's side.
Not to be so attached.
Not to be attached.
No.
Remember the time when we were going, what was the name that hill there in Ajmer?
Taragar.
There's
Say that, yeah, that's another one. Yeah.
Well, it just happened that Baba decided to go up there for a few days, but it meant taking all the beddings out, the food, supplies, the utensils, everything that was necessary, lanterns, everything you could think of, had to be carried up that hill. And we're going to spend a few days and come back again to our mother stay. But the thing was that Baba kept telling us every day what trouble he was being put to in making these arrangements, because they had to be the lift chairs, the technology, the lift because you couldn't walk. And so many details, and Baba kept reiterating the fact that the expense that he was having to go for this, and the trouble, and the so many complications to get us up on that hill. Kitty and I, again, got our heads together. It's so a shame. I mean, Baba's going to so much trouble for us and so much expense. He really should have really wouldn't that chair. I mean, I think that Baba has to go to all these expenses. It's too much, isn't it? So Kitty and I went to Baba. So we like to speak to him. Baba said, what is it? Oh, Baba, you know, you say it's so much trouble and there's so much expense going up on the hill. And Kitty and I thought, I mean, why do it, you know? I mean, we won't mind. We don't have them trip up on the hill and on it. Baba gave us one look and he dictated very forcefully on the board, my word comes first, you're only second. And after that, Kitty and I never said another word. But his work, he was going, and incidentally, he was taking us along with him. And we would take it upon ourselves, Baba, doing all this stuff for us. Baba made it very clear, his work came first. After that, Kitty and I never said another word, no matter how much trouble went by, or how much he complained about expensive things. This is what Baba wants, all right. Once bitten, twice shy. There's all these little incidents like that we're actually learning.
Where did you meet Baba?
Heard about him in Paris.
I had to hear about him.
I just happened to hear about him in Paris. To find him alive.
But tell how.
Only most people know this.
Oh, no, not really.
No. This is a new crowd now.
New crowd.
Well, the same house, but the new crowd.
It seems that, I mean, from 1931, when Baba first came to the West, I mean, my path was heading towards Baba, but at the time I didn't know it. Because I left America with my mother, we started traveling in Europe. And we had met a very charming woman in America, and she happened to be in Paris, and we were there. We picked up acquaintance with her, and again, and became very good friends after a while. Her name was Juan Boulisard. So we happened to be in Paris at this particular time. We were walking down the street, There's a man's voice behind us calling out, "Frida, Frida." I'm super sister. And Lonnie, my mother, Luano, very busy talking, paying no attention. And I suddenly said to Luano, "Your name is Frida, because this was the stage name that she came." She said, "Yes." Well, I said, "There's a very persistent voice behind us saying, Frida, why don't you look and see who it is?" And she turns around and she greets the person who's calling her, and oh, they embrace and so happy with each other to see each other. And it turned out to be Quentin Todd. Quentin Todd had just come back from that trip that the Westerners took, the first trip they took to India in 1933 to be with Baba. They were going to travel with Baba by China, and they were going to California, and Baba was going to break his silence in the Hollywood Bowl. And the thing is that they got as far as India. Baba gave them a trip to Kashmir, and then they came back. Baba said, "Now you've got to go back to the West and pick up where you left off."